Okay, let's take our books out. Chapter 3 is talking about learning by revelation. When you think about where God has brought you from, the term we use often, and it's a very churchy term, but it's true, we were lost, but now we were found. We were blind, but now we see. And that very phraseology speaks volumes about where we were and where we are today. We were blind, but now we see. And when we were lost, we couldn't see. We did not see the real world. We did not see that was reality. We saw a surface. We saw a world that was in darkness. But we did not see the real reality of why we are here. We're here to glorify Christ. The only reason we're here today, the reason He didn't, when He saved us to take us to heaven, was that we may stay here and glorify Christ through these earthen vessels. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit to continually do a work in our lives, that we see more clear, that our eyes open more wider, that we walk in the fullness of the light. And that's why God is ever increasingly shining His light in our lives, not just to show us the badness, but to show us the goodness of God. So I encourage you, saints. I encourage you, not just because we're in this chapter, but you need to pray. You have to have a life of prayer. You'll not make it. You will not make it without a life of prayer, okay? If you'll pray, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you the person of Jesus Christ. He'll open up to you the heavens. He'll open up to you the person of Christ, and there'll be joy that'll flood your soul. It's just as real as putting gas in your car. And I'm not trying to use that foolish analogy, but just as sure as you put that hose and turn the gas goes in the car, if you'll pray, the Holy Spirit will open up heaven and show you Christ, and joy will flood your soul. Period. That's biblical. And I encourage you today to truly open your hearts up in the days and weeks and months to come to the person of Christ, irrespective of the hour we live in. But if we are in the last of the last days and the judgments of God and all the things we're hearing about to take place on this earth, you're going to need to see something greater than what you see in the natural. You're going to need to see the person of Christ to truly go forth. So we're in chapter 3. I'll have an outline for you next week for chapter 2. We'll go over it briefly, but I want to go ahead and get started this morning in chapter 3. And I think it'll enhance what we've already done in chapter 2. But we'll have the outline next week of chapter 2. We'll just go over it briefly, just give you something to put in your hands that you can better understand what we've covered in chapter 2. Learning by revelation of utmost importance. I want you to take your Bibles and go to, before you do, go back to chapter 2. Go back to chapter 2 real quick. Just want to read something real quick, page 19. We've come from the place of learning the truth. In the school of Christ, we went through that in about 8 different classes of learning the truth. The truth is a person. It's not a thing. It's not a doctrine. It's not something we do in the church and we get our emotions, but it's a person, Jesus Christ. And in our spiritual walk, the Holy Spirit will continually endeavor to teach you to learn by the truth. You're learning by the truth, the person. If you want to really grow and mature, you need to get to know Jesus. All right? You got to get close to the Lord. And as you get close to Him, you want to be like Him. And then the Holy Spirit can come to do a work in your heart. And it'll be just as natural as a child growing. You'll grow, you'll mature, and you'll progress. Okay? And you have to get close to Christ. So we're learning by truth in chapter 2. Let me just read to you bottom page 19 after the scriptures, just a few sentences here to kind of the transition here. In our previous meditation, we were speaking together about the school of Christ. Of course, now we know He's talking about chapter 1. In our previous meditation, we were speaking together about the school of Christ, and we were saying that every true child of God is brought into the school of Christ under the hand of the Holy Spirit. And once again, I want to emphasize the importance of Jesus sending back the Holy Spirit. You and I do not go through the school of Christ apart from being under the hand of the Holy Spirit. And that means discipline. And we will not go through the school of Christ apart from the hand of the Holy Spirit being upon our lives. And we all know when we start to try to walk with the Lord, if there's areas in our lives that we refuse to bring under the hand of the Holy Spirit, it stops us cold in our tracks. Okay? It is when we allow that area of our heart to come under the discipline and the promptings and the urgings of the Holy Spirit that we're able to see God do a work and we progressively move forward. It may be slow at times, but we are moving forward because we're under the hand of the Holy Spirit. The spirit of the anointing, that the spirit, and let me read this again. We were saying that every true child of God is brought to the school of Christ under the hand of the Holy Spirit, the spirit of the anointing, and that there the first great work of the Holy Spirit is to present Christ to the heart as God's object for all the Holy Spirit's dealing with us. So as we're under the hand of the Holy Spirit, what does He show us as that which He's trying to conform us to? The person of Christ. He's not trying to conform us to anything else except the person of Christ. So he gives you what he wants you to be like, and it's the person of Christ. Thus, Christ is first of all presented and attested by God as the object of his pleasure. Now, he's simply saying here that as we come under the hand of the Holy Spirit in the school of Christ, the Holy Spirit will always show us the person of Christ. That is what we are to be molded into. Now, he will then give us grace, which is God's desire and God's strength. And so we yield, we come under the hand of the Holy Spirit as we go through this school, if we yield and come under his hand of discipline as he sees fit. As he does that, he doesn't just walk us through with a heavy hand, don't do this, do that, don't do that. That is not what the Holy Spirit does. Howbeit, there are absolutes, there are do's and don'ts in the Word of God. But he comes with his hand and he puts over us, he broods over us. It's the hand of the Spirit of discipline, of endeavoring to urge and prompt us. But as he does, he begins to reveal to us that which he's endeavoring to mold us into. And he shows us that the pleasure of God is his Son. And so as he shows us the pleasure of God as his Son, under the hand of his Spirit, the hand of discipline, he shows us his Son. Then he begins to give us grace, which is a desire to want to love, to please, and to be like that which pleases God. And so as the Holy Spirit begins to discipline us, and he does say to us, you can't live like this. You have sins of omission. You're not praying. You're not doing what you ought to do. You're not reading your Bible. You're not praying. You're not being that example like you ought to be. But he don't just do that, and we say, well, what am I supposed to do? He opens up your eyes, you see Jesus, then he gives you the desire not to be like this, but to be like him. Okay? It's all on God's part as far as the work of grace, but yet you have to yield, you have to pick up your feet. It's not a grace that he does everything in our lives, and we just sit here and the work's accomplished. No, ma'am. You have to yield your spirit, yield your will to God, pick your feet up and walk as a child of God. Joshua would have never crossed the Jordan River. He'd have never marched around Jericho. He had the orders, but he had to march. Somebody had to blow the trumpet. Okay? The desire and the strength was there, but they had to walk around it one time, two times, seven times, blow the trumpet, etc. But they had to obey the grace. Works without faith, faith without works is dead. Is dead. We can cry grace and faith all we want to, but if you got true grace and true faith, you'll be working, you'll be yielded, and you'll see Christ, and he'll give you desire to be like that you seek. So, in essence, what he does, he reveals to us as he broods over us and brings that discipline in our lives, he reveals to us the person of Jesus Christ. Now, let's go to Matthew 16 before we get into chapter 3. I just want to read that to initiate you or transition into the living by revelation or learning by revelation. Matthew 16. We've talked about this before. You've read it many times. Matthew 16. Now, once again, understand something. This is the school of Christ that every true believer that purposes to go on with God will come into. It's not something you have to earn. It's not something you have to be good enough to be involved in. It's something that is, I believe, that every true believer that says, I want to go on with God, I want to be the man or woman of God that God said I should be according to his word, I believe every true believer will go through this school. I'm not talking about just a book. Once again, I know I've said that a lot. I'm talking about a literal school of the Spirit that he will bring you through. You don't have to be good enough. You don't have to earn it. I believe it's a thing that every true believer comes into. And as you do, you will have to learn by revelation. The Holy Spirit welcomes. The Holy Spirit desires. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal to you the person of Jesus Christ. There is nothing in the Holy Spirit that is hard, that says, you know, I don't want to show you Jesus. I want to hide him from you. That is not the work of the Holy Spirit. That is not the personality or the characteristic of the Holy Spirit, is to hide Christ from you, to make it a hard thing for you to know Christ. All that is on our part. It's not on the part of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's office, his personality, his character, is to reveal to us that which pleases God with a desire to be like him. So it's all there. There's the gift. He says, you take it, pick it up, unwrap it, take what's out, apply it to your life, and you can march forth. But we have to embrace that God gives us. So the revelation that he brings to our lives is the desire of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was not sent back to the Father. And the Holy Spirit is not an it. It's not a thing. It's a person. And the Holy Spirit has a characteristic. He has a personality. And His personality is to reveal to me the person of Jesus Christ. He wants to. He don't withhold Him from us. It's us possibly not yielding or putting ourselves in a place where we say, you know, I really want that. If you don't really want that, if you'd rather have something else, He's not going to make you, He's not going to force Christ on you, okay? He will never force Jesus on you. He will never force you by pushing your face in a door and then opening the door so you can see what's the inside. He'll never do that. He won't force you to know Christ. You can come to church all your life and He'll never reveal the person of Christ to you if you don't want Him to. He's not going to force Himself on you. He will not. But if you have a heart that's open to Him, He'll go at whatever length He has to reveal the person of Jesus Christ. There's nothing limited to Him. Nothing limited to the Holy Ghost to show you the person of Jesus Christ. I don't care what no man, woman, boy, girl has ever told you. No matter what their life depicts, no matter how hard and heavy it may seem, the Holy Ghost is not like that. He desires, He broods over us, wanting to show us the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus said to Jerusalem, I would have gathered you under myself, just like a chicken does her biddies, if I can just put plain English, but you would not. The Holy Ghost will say in this generation, I would have revealed to the church the person of Christ. I would have stirred a hunger and a thirst in your heart to walk the days of your life with a joy unspeakable and full of glory to know and love Him. That's the Holy Ghost. He desires to reveal to us Christ. He did not come to make us just better housewives or better husbands or better workers or better this. He came to make us and mold us into the image of Jesus Christ. He didn't come just to give us a desire to preach or to sing. He came to give us a desire from heaven to be like Jesus Christ and to love Him. To love Him. And there will be a bride. There will be a bride that's hungry and thirsty to marry the bridegroom. They'll be molded and made into His image. They'll desire to see Him. They'll walk their daily lives desiring to be married to the person of Jesus Christ. That's the office of the Holy Ghost. And if you'll get that in your spirits, you will walk around beaten down. Well, I don't know if I'll ever see Him. I don't know. And it's a hard. No, it is not a hard thing if we're yielded to God because He desires. We're saying the Holy Ghost is straight and He's limited and He can't reveal to me Christ. That's not true. He can. He can. Amen. When I was lost, He revealed Christ to me. In my worst of conditions, He revealed Christ to me. So if I'm saved, how much more should He be able to reveal Christ to me now? Amen. So if you want to grow in the Lord, I'm here to tell you that if you want to grow and mature and have joy unspeakable and full of glory, the part of the Holy Ghost is wide open for you. He is hungry to show you the person of Christ, desiring to, loving to. Don't ever buy that. This is the old hard Christianity. We can't see Jesus. That is not the truth. I heard something this week, Sadducees. You think about the word sad, you see. The Sadducees were sad, you see, because they didn't know Jesus. They're always sad, you see. They were sad. They didn't know Him. Talk about Him. Didn't know Him. And they were sad. You see? How many people you see that are sad? They don't know Christ. They don't know Him. They're not letting the Holy Ghost reveal the person of Christ. I know where I was. I was lost. I know where I came from. But Christ is revealing, the Holy Ghost is revealing the person of Jesus Christ to me. My heart is not in ministry or in pulpit. It's in Jesus Christ. And that makes ministry and pulpit much more fresh. Amen? Your heart's got to be in Christ. And I'm saying all that, saints, because we're in the chapter of learning by revelation. By revelation. We have got to have the Holy Ghost. I cannot reveal Christ to Frank. I can't reveal Christ to Miss Hazel. I can preach Christ. I can live Christ. But the Holy Ghost can come to Miss Hazel. If every preacher in the world backslides today, the Holy Ghost can make Christ real to her. Amen? He can choose to. But if you don't pray, you'll never know Him. You'll never know Him if you don't pray. You'll never know Him if you don't pray. I got a boy that's 13 and one that's 9. If I don't spend time with my boy, I'll never know Him. And he can live in my house. You don't spend time with Jesus in prayer, you'll never know Him. You'll talk about Him, sing about Him, and shed some tears. But you'll never know Him. I'm telling you, if you'll pray, the Holy Ghost sits right there to brood over you, to reveal the most glorious thing that God ever sent to this earth. Please Him, His Son. Amen. He'll mold you into His image. Now, Matthew 16, verse 13. You know the story very well. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" A very sobering question. Now, I've told this before. Jesus Christ, don't read on, just listen, because you need to get this. We need to get this foundation before we get in this chapter. Jesus, don't ever forget this. If you've heard me say it before, get it in your spirits again. Don't ever forget this. When Jesus Christ came back to Caesarea Philippi, it was for a divine reason. The time had come for Jesus Christ, for it to be confirmed who He was. It wouldn't take a multitude. It would take one man to have the Father reveal to him who Christ was. He would establish that quote-unquote bulkhead. We like to use that word, wall of defense, or that line of offense. He would truly initiate. He would bring the focus now. It would be established in the world who he was. It would forever be settled after this day who he was. Forever. And Jesus knew that. He asked this question for a divine reason. It wasn't by happen chance. He asked this question for a reason. Today, it would be revealed who he really was. It would be established forever. One of the first true revelations that we see in the Word of God. And I read it again. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, he narrows it down, "But whom say ye that I am?" Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah." Blessed. Now he called Peter blessed. Called him blessed. What for? Here he tells us why. "Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And so Jesus here speaks about revelation. He speaks about learning by revelation. He speaks about that Peter did not know apart from the Father revealing to him whom Christ really was. He did not figure it out on his own. Get that. I know it's simple, but if you'll get this in your hearts and your spirits, it'll help you to grow. He did not figure this thing out on his own. His intellect didn't kick in and now I know. His reasoning, because he healed this one, healed that one, he said, okay, he's the Christ. Did not happen. And it will not happen in your life. It will not happen because you come to church four times a week for the next 10 years. It will not happen because you sing, preach, shout, run the aisles. It will not happen. It will not happen by your ability or the lack of your ability. It won't happen because of your intellect or your lack of mentality. It will not happen because of that. It happened because it pleased the Father to reveal to Peter who Jesus was. And now we have the dispensation of the Holy Ghost that is not straightened like Christ was, that fills the earth looking to and fro for a people that says, "I want to know who Jesus is." That's why you have third world countries having revival, because they come to a place and you want to talk about hard times, you want to talk about perilous times and persecution and having it tough 24/7. They have hell on earth, but yet they're knowing something that most of America don't know. They know Jesus Christ and they have joy, and they're starting now to bring the missionaries to America to bring a revival to America, hopefully. Because we as Americans sit all smug and all beaten down because we got to do something during the day. And these folks are getting Christ revealed to them by the Holy Ghost. And they're getting on fire. They don't have the ability, they don't have the mentality, but they got an open heart. We want to be like, "Gee, I know what I was, I know what he's trying to make me." And they're getting the Holy Ghost. Christ is being made real to them through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he called him blessed. And you will not know it apart from a revelation of the Father. That's why you can take the most ignorant, beaten down, far removed person, get them saved, and put them in a church somewhere where truth is preached, let them open up the heart, and 6 months to a year they'll bypass most of the church that's been there 5 and 10 years. Because they sit there, you say, "How in the world are you that far advanced?" It's because the Holy Ghost has made Christ real to them. Nothing else. It's not their ability, it's not their prestige, it's not their social position, it's nothing of that. It's not, "Oh, they don't have a trial, I do." It's none of that. It is none of that. None of that. "Oh, they don't have a hard..." None of that. It's not being having a hard time, a trial, or having a bad relationship. It is none of that. I'm telling you, read the book of Acts. They tore them apart. They did everything they could to break their spirits. And the more they tried to break it, the more the Holy Ghost made Christ real to them. It's a revelation of the Holy Spirit. But I can choose to walk through the rest of my life with a hard, beat-down Christianity that says the Holy Ghost just ain't able. He's able. He's able. I just chose not to allow him to do it in my life. I'm here to tell you today, you may feel like the scum of the earth. You may feel like you're never going to make it. You may feel like you don't know nothing. You may not have prayed in 6 weeks like you ought to pray. Some of you probably haven't. I'm telling you, if you make up your mind today, "I'm not going to get smart today. I'm not going to rise up in my ability today. But today I'm going to open my heart up to the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is going to make Christ real to me. And with that realness will come a desire and a thirst and a hunger. And then I can move on with God." Amen. That's what learning by revelation is. It's not getting better. It's not getting more intense. It's not getting more emotional. It's not stopping this and starting that. It's opening up your heart to Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Ghost. And when Christ is made real to you, you'll stop that and start doing that. But you won't until. Amen. You'll start some good little things in your life. You'll make some vow, well, I'm going to quit doing this. And you'll do it for about 2 or 3 weeks. I'm going to start praying. And you do it for about 3 weeks and you fall flat on your face. And then you feel worse than you did before you started praying. Because it ain't by the Holy Ghost. Because you're still not opening your heart up to the Holy Ghost. You're still trying to do it in your own strength to save face or save some besetting sin in your life. I'm telling you, if you open up your heart to God, put it right on the table. This is who I am, what I am, and I'm going to let you do a work in my life. You're going to learn by truth, reality, truth, reality. And you open up your heart to Jesus Christ, I tell you, the Holy Ghost will make Him real to you. And don't tell me this Bible teaches us that if Jesus is made real, we walk around smug and beaten down. We walk around full of joy, unspeakable, and full of glory. That's why men could sing when the fire was under their feet. Because they had joy. Most husbands, housewives, workers today can't go a 7-day period without something all hell breaking loose in their life because the tire went flat, the gas went out, or something went bad at home. Amen. America has been spoiled rotten. 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 But I tell you what, there's going to be a church, praise God. I say this to encourage you. There's going to be a church. There's going to be a people that's loving the Lord and excited about what God's doing and happy about Jesus. Oh, yeah, they have problems, have things. We all do. I mean, we all do. Line them up, we all do. Amen. Some worse than others, but we all have them. I mean, we all have them. I mean, we talk about the 15 young people getting killed and then there was an accident of a pastor we were with this weekend, a family member on a motorcycle, a little sidecar, 2 kids, 7 and 9. The truck hit them broadsided, and the man and the woman, the woman's got brain damage. They've been declared her dead. So let's line up with them and see how bad our problems are today. Amen? There's always somebody worse off. But there's nobody the Holy Ghost can't reveal Christ to. Nobody. Hallelujah. Nobody. Take a little child, 8, 9, 10 years of age, in the far-flung regions of India, wherever, and sit them up on a place, and you want to love me? Yes, sir, I want to love you. And fill them with the Holy Ghost. And the parents sit in the front of a car and get killed and martyred, and that child walk away from that car that's burning and say, Lord, I forgive them. I forgive them. They didn't know what they were doing. And keep on preaching the gospel. 10 and 12 years, that's happening. That's happening today. They're full of Jesus, loving Jesus. Just loving Jesus. Why? Because they have some special elitist ability? No, got the Holy Ghost. Revealing Christ to them. Amen. That's good news. That means I can have it. Hallelujah. That means I don't have to measure up to get it. I don't have to be smart to get it, Melissa. I don't have to be smart to get it. Amen. I don't have to be smart to get it or high on the social ladder. I just got to want it. Amen. And open my heart up and Holy Ghost can make Christ real to me. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Did you see that? In Matthew, Jesus said the Father revealed it to you. And Jesus got excited. He said, I'll build this church. The gates of hell won't prevail against it. Upon this I'll build my church. Now before you read Ephesians 1, before we read it, he said, upon this I'll build my church. Do you hear what Jesus said? Now get this, don't move on, just get this. He said, upon this I'll build my church. Upon what? The very fact that the Father or the Holy Spirit can reveal to a man the person of Christ. He said, on that I'll build my church. And on that the gates of hell will not prevail. Did you get that? That's the only thing that the gates of hell can't prevail against. Is your revelation of Christ. Christ being made real to you. And I'm telling you what he is saying there very bluntly is that you and I can have Jesus Christ revealed to us by the Father. And with that foundation, the gates of hell will not prevail. And once again, let me get this into your spirits. Once again, when we say the gates of hell will not prevail, it does not mean that we're standing here hoping the gates don't overcome us. It is not talking about we're trying to, listen very carefully, it is not talking about we're trying to live a Christian life where we hope the demons and devils and hard times don't overtake us. I hope I can live me a good week. I just wish I could get 1 week under my belt and the devil not overtake me for 1 week. I hope the devil don't overtake me. That is not what Jesus is saying. The furthest thing from that is what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, if you have this foundation, if you're letting the Holy Ghost reveal my Son to you, if you're walking by revelation, get this in your spirits, if you're walking by revelation, it won't be you sitting here hoping the devil don't overtake you. It'll be you marching, progressing, and maturing toward the gates of hell in your life, and there's no gate that will stop you from growing. None. None. But this old brooding over here, beating down, oh, I ain't gonna make it, that's far, that is from the pits of hell. That's all it is. It's the very pit to stop you from even storming the gates of hell. He said, if you're built upon this foundation, there's no gate in hell that'll stop you. We're on the offensive. We're not over here waving some white flag, hoping we don't get beaten down. They didn't walk around Jericho waving some white flag. Y'all wait till we get finished now. Don't attack us. Amen. No, sir, we're not waving a white flag. We're marching because we're built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. We're knowing Him by the power of revelation, the Holy Spirit. I don't know Him because I'm good, bad, that I have ability or mentality. No, I know Him because the Holy Ghost is making Him real to me. I see something in my life. It's a gate that's trying to stop me from progressing. I'm not going to sit here and hope that thing just goes away one day. I refuse to learn to coexist with it, but the very power that showed me Christ will empower me to march forth. I'm going to storm that gate. And Jesus said, if you will, it will not stop your progression. But you can choose to sit there, and we can. I can choose to sit here and whine and pine and cry and brood all over myself. Holy Ghost is not sorry for you. The Holy Ghost don't get sorry. He don't feel sorry for you. Oh, you're being hard. No, I didn't say He didn't love you. I didn't say He wasn't merciful. I didn't say He wasn't compassionate. But He don't feel sorry for you. People do that, but the Holy Ghost don't. Because if the Holy Ghost feels sorry for you like people does, you'll never move. And your only hope is the Holy Ghost don't feel sorry for you, but He gets right in you in that sharp word and starts to prod you and get you up out of your situation. Amen? Thank God He will. He will, praise God. He will. He'll get you up. He'll get you up, praise God. He won't let you sit there and soak yourself in your tears and your pity party. Amen? He'll get you up. Hallelujah. I said He'll get you up, praise God. Make you a man or woman of God. That's good news. That ain't hard. That's good news. That's good news. Anybody let you sit there and sulk and console you and all your mess, they ain't your friend. That's not your real friend. Your real friend will love you in it. Yes, they'll be merciful, but they'll always be trying to get you up and out of it, moving on. They won't just give you a dollar and pat you on the back. Good little puppy dog. Now, you don't bark too loud tonight. Amen. That ain't your friend. Holy Ghost is your friend. He'll get you up. Praise God. He'll get you out. Praise God. Yes, He'll love you in it. Yes, He's not hard on you. He don't beat you down. No, He don't dig a hole and bury you in it. But He won't leave you there and console you. He gets you out of it. Praise God. If you'll embrace reality and revelation of who Jesus really is. Now, where are we at? Ephesians chapter 1. Are you with me now? We'll build a church on that. Who's the church? This building? No, you. You're the church. He said, on this foundation, I'll build my church in the gates of hell. He'll build Tammy. He'll build Melissa. He'll build Miss Hazel. He'll build Ozzy. He'll build Ryland. You're the church. Ryland's the church. That's the church. He'll build Ryland. The gates of hell won't stop Ryland from growing and progressing. If he'll let the Holy Ghost reveal Christ to him, we'll not stop him. That's good news if you want to grow and mature. But if Christianity is just a sideline, if Christianity is a getting away from your problems, it's another way of doing things. At least I don't have to drink. I've changed my clothes a little bit. Changed the people I run with a little bit. And I don't have the problems I used to. And it's just something we do. It's something added to our lives. That's not Christianity. Christianity is a total abandonment. Total abandonment. He's not only your Savior, but He's your Lord. He becomes your boss. He manages your life. Amen. He's not just your Savior. There is no such thing in the Word of God. There is no such Christ in this Bible as just being your Savior. He never just saves you from all your problems. That is not the Christ. That's why the multitudes followed Him. The multitudes followed Him because He solved their problems. He said, you don't follow me because of who I am. You follow me because of what I do for you. Many people want Him to save them from their problems. Save me from dying and going to hell on drugs and alcohol. Save me from this ungodly relationship. I want you to be my Savior, but don't be the manager of my life. That's what lordship means, manager, boss. Don't mean He rules over you with a rod all the time, beating you down. That's not what we're talking about. But if you're truly born again, He's not just your Savior. He's your Lord. No such Jesus in the Bible. There's a lot of those Jesus running around in the church, but there's no such Jesus in His Bible. He's your Lord and Savior. And the old saying, He's either Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. And that is true. He's either Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. And if He's not Lord, He's not your Savior. Because He didn't come just to save you. He came to help you in your life. I tell you what, I look at my track record. I'm sure glad. I thank God somebody can manage my life better than I did. Look at your track record. What are you going to do? Change clothes, quit drugs, and try to do it again? Oh, my Lord. No. You need somebody else to manage your life. You need somebody else to control your life. And He'll do it for you. He'll manage your life. He'll help you urge and prompt you and lead and guide and all the time revealing the person of Jesus Christ. That's the office of the Holy Spirit. You understand that? Isn't that simple? Very simple. He wants you to grow and mature. Ephesians chapter 1. We'll get there. It's a prayer that Paul prayed. We've talked about it many times in ministering the Word. I'm sure you've read it many times. It's a prayer that Paul prayed. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Now, he's obviously praying this to a church, to a group, a body of people that's a part of the body of Christ. And they're progressing. The church at Ephesus was a church that at that point in time was growing and maturing. Okay? So with that in mind, we showed you in Matthew 16, Caesarea Philippi, when it was established by revelation, that we know Jesus by revelation. Did you get that? In the initial, we see Christ by revelation. Okay? So here it was established in Matthew 16. If you're born again, somewhere along your life, it has been established when you got saved that Christ is the Messiah. He's the Son of God. The Holy Ghost has made that real to you. And you knew you were lost in the need of a Savior and a Lord. Amen? You're in need of a Savior to be Lord of your life. Okay? Here is the church moving forward. All right? It's not the foundation here. It's a moving forward. And Paul prays a prayer in verse 15 of Ephesians 1. He said, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith," so obviously it's a faith here that's been going on for some time, a few years, obviously in this church, "after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints." And notice you can't separate those two things. Let me just throw this in as a sideline this morning. You can't have faith and not love the saints. You'll never have it. It's not true faith if we don't love the saints. Amen. All right. "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." So here we see Paul very simply, he says, "I'm praying for you. I don't cease to make mention of you in my prayers." Okay? So what's he praying? Verse 17. This is his prayer. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." So now Paul is praying for the spirit of wisdom and what? Revelation. And we know revelation simply means to reveal. You have something revealed to you. You see it. You couldn't see it. Now you do. And so Paul here is now praying for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in what? In the knowledge of him. So here's Paul is praying for the church, for spirit of revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, if you study Ephesus, it's obviously that they were a strong church at this time. They were moving forth, etc. We know what would happen eventually, but they were moving forward in the Lord. They were growing, maturing. And yet Paul prays here that Jesus Christ would give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, what Paul acknowledges here is this. Paul acknowledges in this prayer something. You see, when you pray and you ask the Lord for something and you have a prayer of a need or a request, the very fact that you pray is your acknowledgement that you have need for something. Okay? If I'm sick and I ask God to, "Lord, I'm sick, touch me, heal me." Well, I know this is elementary, but listen. Then I'm acknowledging to God, "I'm sick." I'm saying to God, "God, I acknowledge it that I'm sick." I'm not going to walk around with hyper faith and say, "I don't claim it. I don't claim this sickness. I'm not sick. In the name of Jesus, I'm not sick." That shows two things. It shows immaturity, and it shows you forgot what the Bible says about liars. Amen? They don't go to heaven. Are you with me? Don't walk around and say, "In the name of Jesus, I don't claim this. I'm not sick. I'm healed in the name of Jesus." No, go to the Father like a child would to his real father and say, "Daddy, I don't feel good. I got a headache. Got anything for the headache, Daddy?" Can you imagine my son walking at me and his face right red, and I mean, you almost see the pain come out of his brain. You know, he walks, "Son, how you feel?" "I feel good. I feel good." I think something was worse wrong with him than a headache, wouldn't you? I hope my child would say, "Yeah, I don't feel good. I need a Tylenol or something. Give me some aspirin. I need something. My head hurts." Amen. Go to God like that. Don't walk up to God with some hyperbole. "Oh, in the name of Jesus, I feel good." Amen. Go up to him and tell him, "I don't feel good." You know, and I'm not being facetious. This is real. I'm telling you, there's folks that's out there. They're out there. They're way out there. I mean, they're way out there on that limb. And I'm telling you, the limbs are being cut off. God's cutting the limbs off because he loves them. Amen. It's a hard fall. It's a hard fall. But God loves them enough to cut the limbs out, and some people are coming to realization. So when you go to God and you say, "I'm sick," and you get honest with the Lord, it's kind of what he said about Sunday morning. There's a transition somewhere in your life. You got to live the truth. You got to live the truth. You can't live in the shadows anymore. You can't coexist with things. You can't act like it's not there. You can't say, "Well, I'll deal with that tomorrow." Tomorrow never comes. And you never deal with it. You got to deal with reality. You got to deal with truth. So when you go to God, say, I'm sick. I need you to touch me. You're acknowledging to God. You recognize where you stand physically and you need Him to touch you. Okay? When Paul prayed that Jesus Christ would give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation, he was not saying that they were about to backslide. He was not saying, boy, if y'all don't get something today, it's all gone. He was not saying that. He was acknowledging that in the heart of every true believer, there is a continual need of a continual revelation of the person of Jesus Christ. It never stops. You think you know Him today? You think you're in love with Him today? And I pray you are. I pray you know Him today more than you've ever known Him. I pray you love Him today more than you've ever loved Him. But I'm here to tell you, ever how much you know Him is about a zenth of a degree of how much you can know Him by the time that the trump of God sounds and you walk the streets of gold for about 1,000 years. It never stops. And that's what Paul is acknowledging, is the continual revelation of who Christ is. Of who Christ is. Now, Paul acknowledged that in the Word of God. When he prays that, I cease not making mention of you in my prayers, that He give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. He's simply saying, I'm praying that the Holy Ghost make Christ real to you. Well, if he could pray that for the church at Ephesus, obviously he's praying it for the body of Christ. It's a foundational prayer for all the body of Christ, that we should have a continual desire for the revelation of Christ. So how much more today, if we're going to move forth now in the school of Christ, if we're going to go on, as we say in chapter 3, learning by revelation, if we're going to live by the truth, as we learn in chapter 2, if we're going to live by the truth, we'll only live by the truth as the truth is revealed to us. Okay, you may be walking in all you know today. So is God just going to stop you right where you're at? No, He's going to open up more truth to you that you may walk in a greater truth, a greater realization, a greater revelation of the person of Christ. That's the growth and maturity. Maybe I'm not going to quit feeding my children today because they're healthy and strong. My children are very healthy. They're very strong. They're growing good. I said, boy, I'm glad where y'all at. I'm going to stop feeding you today. No more food. Look how foolish that would be. For me wanting them to stop growing naturally. Well, Jesus will never have you to stop growing spiritually. You will forever be growing and maturing spiritually if you yield yourself to God. So how are we going to grow? By revelation of Christ. By having Him revealed to us in a greater way. That's the only way you ever grow. The more you see of Jesus, the more you want to be like Him. The more you yield to Him, the more you become like Him. That's growth and maturity. And to the whole man, every member, my arms, my eyes, my feet, my thoughts, my desires, everything about me, He puts His hand on. Amen. Those desires. He walks by the pieces. We learned that. He walks by the pieces. And every piece has got to be stamped with His desire and His strength. Let's take the normal housewife or the husband that works during the day. Or ministers or whoever. Take their daily lives. Take some of you housewives and take you home. And I'm not picking on you, but the Holy Spirit walked through you in your daily walk, and He does. And find out how many of your desires, of those desires you have, are not His. They're not His. Your actions, your moods, your attitudes are not like Him. Well, what's He going to do? Just sit back and say, well, at least she's saved. Maybe we can keep her from going to hell. Now, if you're His and you're born again, I'll tell you what He's going to do. He's going to walk through you during the course of a day, and He's going to endeavor in those moods and attitudes that are not His. The Holy Ghost will be faithful. He will not cease, if you'll open your heart up, until He stamps every one of them with His desire and His strength. And He does this by opening your heart up to see more of Christ. And you say, He's not like that. And you let the Holy Spirit do the work. He's faithful to do that. He never ceases. That's what Paul's praying. That you have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And it comes when? When you're in church on Wednesday night, the music at a fever pitch. Boy, I'm going to get it right now. What you going to do with it tomorrow if you do get it right now? Amen. What you going to do with it tomorrow? First thing that crosses you, first thing that slithers up your toenail, here you go. Amen. Well, I don't know that. Amen. Like a bugle sucking oats out of a half-inch pipe. All swelled up because somebody crossed you. Amen. Y'all can smile. You act like, don't act like you don't ever do that. Don't sit and act pious to me like I'm the only one that ever does it. What do you think God's going to do?
Well, you know, she's having a bad day and we'll just let that go. She'll do better tomorrow.
No, you won't. You'll do worse tomorrow if He don't do something in your heart. Or you may be to a place in your life that you've learned how to cover it up. And you'll break out the day with all that mess. Oh, Lord. And you cover it up about 7 days. I get all sweet and pious. And the next time it breaks out, it's a little bit worse. You learn to coexist with it. And the Lord stirred me in my heart about this message. I don't know if I ever preach it. Maybe it's just for me, about the progression of lawlessness. There's a progression of lawlessness in this nation and in the world today. A progression of lawlessness. You hear what happened in Colorado, and I'm not going to preach on that today. When you start hearing more and more and more, where does it start? It starts in your house when you quit praying. That's where it starts. I sit beside a young boy, and we went out to eat one night, and after I had read that in the paper yesterday, I sit beside a young man. You know, he may have went out and said, boy, I like that. Had a long black trench coat. Sit right beside him. It was, what, 75 degrees. Long black trench coat, the skint head look. I'm not being critical. I'm not trying to be whatever. Progression of lawlessness. And we ooh and ah, and we say, man, that's terrible. But where does it start? It starts in the homes where not have a foundation of Christ being revealed. You say, oh, I'm glad we're not like that. Well, how much different are we really? If we're Christians and we know what's right and we refuse to do what's right, how much better off are we really? You see, they're blinded. Don't forget, lost, blind. If a man walks out that door that's blind, how do I expect him to walk across the street and not get hit by a car? I'd be foolish if I thought he could walk down the street and not get hit by a car. He's blind. Well, those folks are blind. Well, if the man can see and then choose to walk down the middle of the highway, I think something's wrong with him. Well, that's what the people look at the church. Y'all folk supposed to be seeing. Why ain't you growing and maturing? Why in your daily walk aren't you letting the Holy Ghost reveal Christ to you? Well, I just, you know, kind of like this thing in my life. You know, I just don't, I know I'm moody. I know I am, but it's just easier to be moody than really deal with it. That's who I am. That's where my security is. You say, preacher, you really believe people can be secure in bad things? Absolutely. There's a lot of folks that live on the streets that they wouldn't know how to live anywhere else. And you take them off the street, they don't know how to live because they got used to it. You can learn to coexist with attitudes and moods and ways of life that's not like Christ. And then the Holy Ghost comes and says, I want to open your heart up and show you Christ. You say, no, I don't want to really see him there because I have to change. I'll have to change. I'm trying to encourage you that you'll never grow and mature until you open your heart up to God and let him reveal Christ to you. That's what Paul is praying. There's got to be a continual revelation of the person of Christ. Now, on the one side, when we hear these things, it makes us kind of, he's saying we got to grow and mature. Amen. If you're here today like that or whatever, and you know, you don't like this thing of change, and you know, well, I'm saved, what's wrong? Is there always something else I got to do? No, there's always something else the Holy Ghost wants to do in you and for you and through you. Amen. But yet, if you're sitting here today hungry to grow, that's good news. There's going to be a continual revelation of the person of Christ. That's good news. Praise God. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I got what I've got. But I want more. I want more of him. I want more of him. I don't know how to get it. I want more. I want more. The Holy Ghost, boy, he finds those that genuinely wants more. He finds you in your home genuinely want more. I don't care if hell broke loose. It don't matter. He finds you a vessel that wants more of Christ. I believe he gets excited. He'll brood over you and open up your heart to the person of Jesus Christ. And you'll grow and mature. But if you don't want it, he'll go on down the street and find him a window he can look in, see a wife or a husband or a child that says, yeah, I want Jesus. He'll knock on that door, the knob on your side, and you open it. He'll come in, show you Jesus. Walks down your house, door's shut, window's pulled, and all that, and you in the side, don't want him. Don't want him. You're in church every week, but don't really want him. I'm going to tell you, he won't force himself on you. Paul said, I know, I'm praying that Jesus will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of your understanding, verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, eyes of your understanding be light, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Look at what Paul is praying. That the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. Amen. So what is Paul saying? I might not can see. You may be sitting here this morning and say, I can't quite see it. I just can't quite get it. I can't quite see it. The Holy Ghost sees that heart that wants to see it. He comes and opens your eyes. To see him. Any man that's ever truly seen him, wants him. You want him. So you sit there and you'd see things dimly. You can't quite see it. He finds you at home one day and he sees you, Lord, I want to know you. I want to know. I don't want to learn to coexist with that. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to try to have some excuse that I have a reason to be like that. I want to know you. And I can't see you, Lord. I can't see you. The Holy Ghost comes and enlightens, illuminates, and opens your eyes. That's what he said. That you, for what reason? That you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. What's the hope of our calling? Jesus Christ. That you may know Christ. That you may know Him. Verse 17 in the Amplified. Let me read you in Amplified. Just look here. Let me read you in Amplified. For I always pray, just listen, to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that He may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Here's that revelation now. You know, he explains what revelation is. Wisdom and revelation, listen, of insight into mysteries and secrets, into the deep and intimate knowledge of Him. What's He saying? He's saying, Ephesus, I know you're growing and maturing, but there's things about Jesus you don't know. And He wants you to know them. Boy, that's good news. Now, if you're just trying to serve the Lord to keep you out of trouble and get you off this problem and that problem, and just ain't interested in you. Amen? Not at all. Not at all. But if you're truly born again and want to grow and mature, you say, you mean there's some things about Jesus that I can know and the Holy Ghost wants to reveal them to me? You go to Christmas, poor analogy, but you go to Christmas, somebody gives you a gift. And that gift, that big box, has 8 compartments. And there's something in every compartment at Christmas in the natural. I promise you there's not a one of you in this place that's just going to open 5 compartments and leave the other 3 closed. You're going to open every compartment until you find out everything that's in that box that's yours. And you know what? You ought to. If it was my box and there's 8 compartments, I'd make sure I got every one of them. I would be looking for another one. And you would too. Amen? We do that in the natural. But in the spirit, Paul said, I'm praying. He said, there's some things you don't know about Jesus. Ooh, there's some mysteries and secrets you don't know yet. But I'm praying that He'll make them real to you. Intimacy, communion. He mentions the word intimacy. But we choose to open 3 or 4 boxes, 3 or 4 compartments, and try to live with those when He said there's so much more. So much more. And when you only open 3 or 4, they don't satisfy you. You start to go the other way, look for other things. When there are those compartments you could have opened. Amen? All right, that makes sense? Now, how's He going to do this? By having the eyes of your heart flooded with light. Glory to God. Did you hear that? By having the eyes of your heart flooded with light. How am I going to know these secrets and these mysteries? By having the eyes of your heart flooded with light. So that you can know and understand the hope to which He has called you. And how rich is His glorious inheritance in the saints. There's a glorious inheritance in the saints. And He wants you to know it. He wants you to know. He wants you to know all those mysteries and secrets about Him. But we only know it by having the eyes of our heart flooded by light. Flooded by light. And I promise you, He finds those that want their hearts flooded with light. And He will flood it. Did you get that, what it said? Flood. A flood. You think hell can raise up? You think the devil can rise up and bring the trials and storms? You ain't seen a flood like Christ can bring. When the world was wicked and their very thoughts were evil, and God says, I'll destroy the earth, and I'll do it by a flood. They mocked Noah. They never thought, nah, no flood, no, there's no way. Well, let me ask you something. Did God know how to bring a flood? You ever thought about it? Did God know how to bring a flood? Did He have to get man's approval? Man's opinion? Did He bring a flood and destroy the earth? Well, I tell you, when you study this, I believe you'll find that the same God that flooded the earth can flood your soul with light. Amen? Every crevice, every corner, every nook and cranny, every hall, every door, every window, every place in that area of your heart, if you open it up, He said, I'll flood it. I'll flood it. I'll flood it with my light. And I tell you what, when you fill a room with light, there is no place for darkness. No place for darkness. The darkness has to flee. Just as sure as this is true in natural, it's true in the spirit. You go to a room pitch dark, when you turn the light on, the darkness immediately leaves. And in your heart, there's areas that are dark. If you'll cry out, God, I need to continually, by revelation, know your Son, Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, He's looking for those. He'll come to the area of your heart, and He'll flood it with light. And the darkness has got to flee. But if you want to push that darkness behind some cabinet in the corner and hide it and try to coexist with light, If you've got some besetting sin or attitude or problem that you, well, yeah, I want Jesus in this room, but let me wait before you come in now. Let me get these things situated, and we'll put a little cabinet right here, and we'll open the doors. We'll put that thing in there and shut the door, and then when the light comes on, hey, I know where it's at. That's coexisting. You say, no, come on in. Let me go open the cabinet doors, the drawers, the closet doors. I'm going to open them all up so when the light hits, there's no darkness nowhere. Praise God. You want your home cleaned up? That's what you need to do. Open the closets, the cabinets, the drawers, and all. So when he comes in and turns on the light, there's no hidden nook or cranny. Everything's open to the light. And I promise you, just as sure as he flooded this world and destroyed the iniquity, he'll flood your heart and erase the iniquity. But not just the iniquity, but open up and give you an understanding of the person of Jesus Christ. Intimacy and knowledge. Amen. I believe it's just as real as anything the Word of God teaches, that we can learn by revelation. Read it one more time. We'll stop. By having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which He has called you and how rich is His glorious inheritance in the saints. His set apart ones. That's what it says in parentheses in Ephesians. His set apart ones. God's got a people in His last days that are set apart. And not because they're an elitist group, but because they chose to embrace the wisdom of God, the revelation of Christ, and they're growing and maturing in the things of God. Amen. Hallelujah. I tell you what, it encourages my heart and personally that the Lord desires for me to grow and mature. He desires to open up my understanding and to enlighten my heart. I've got a long ways to go, so much to know and understand, but yet the Holy Ghost is continually desiring to reveal to me the person of Christ. But I can choose, as a minister, as a father, I can choose to shut it all down. He won't force himself on me. I can choose to get religious. I can choose today to look at some situations in my life and say, boy, this is tough. Nobody understands. Nobody cares. I could choose. We all could. And I could choose to live there for a few days, a few weeks, and just shut it all down. Amen. But grace is sufficient for me to choose otherwise. Not because I'm better or stronger, but I choose to go with grace. We can all choose. Amen. We all have a choice to make. We all have a freedom of our wills to choose. We're not forced upon. But I'm thankful today that Paul could pray to the church. Yes, I'm glad at Caesarea Philippi that the Father revealed Christ to Peter. I'm glad that the foundation of the church is built. Gates of hell will not prevail. But Paul acknowledged there was a continual need of a continual revelation. It was obviously that Peter knew he was Christ, but obviously he didn't get it all, did he? Because in about 2 minutes, he was rebuking him and saying, Satan, get thee behind me. Because Satan was whispering in the ear of Peter, don't let him go to the cross. That's wrong. No. So Peter rose up and Jesus looked at him and said, Satan, get thee behind me. He had a little bit of him. He knew he was the Messiah. Had long ways to go, didn't he? And then at the end of the journey, before Jesus would ascend, he said, Peter, son, put your hand forth. He said, when you were young, Peter, you girded yourself. You did your own thing. He said, but the day is coming when you mature that you let somebody else lead you. And when you're converted, strengthen the brother. Go read the book of Acts. Read 1st and 2nd Peter. You find him converted and strengthened. And what it is the enlightenment and the revelation is unfolding. And he sees him more and more and more. And hell couldn't stop him. Why? Because Jesus told him, upon this I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. But listen, it wasn't just that one shot at Caesarea Philippi that he got. It was Paul saying there's got to be a continuity of it. And so there was a continual revelation in Peter's life from Caesarea Philippi until they hung him upside down. There was a continual revelation of who Christ was. Continual illuminating, continual flooding of light in his heart. And he continually grew and grew and grew in the person of Jesus Christ. Talked about joy, talked about fullness of life. Man was totally changed because Jesus Christ initially gave him that revelation, but it never ceased until he brought him into the fullness and the full measure of Jesus Christ, a true man of God. That's what he wants to do in every one of the lives of those that are born again. He wants to bring you from where Peter was at Caesarea Philippi to a full understanding of the person of Christ, that you can grow and mature and be everything that God has called you to be. If we're going to live by truth, chapter 2, we're going to have to learn by revelation, chapter 3. We'll never live by truth if we don't have that truth continually revealed to us. It's not a one-shot thing, a good service Friday, Sunday, whatever. Read the Bible in the morning. It's not a one-shot thing. If we're going to live by truth, we have to learn by a continual revelation by the Holy Spirit of the person of Jesus Christ. Amen? That makes sense? And what did I say? The Holy Ghost is not sitting here today.
Well, I guess I got a good deal with Him again.
Well, I get tired of trying to show Him Jesus. He is desiring to find somebody that He can show Christ. Amen. When that newborn babe's born, you want everybody to see Him. Amen. You want everybody to see Him. And that's good. That's good. Well, how much more does the Holy Ghost want a babe in Christ to see the person of Christ? And let me tell you, He's able. He's able. Amen. There's nothing can stop the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost is able to reveal you to the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand. Praise God.